All right. 7,200 seconds. Does that mean anything to anybody? What about 120 minutes? Still nothing? What about sub 2 hours? If you're an elite, boom. If you're an elite marathon runner, sub 2 means everything. In 2017, Nike set out to equip and train 3 world-class marathon runners to answer the question, can a human being run a marathon in under 2 hours? In 2017, before this was run, the world record was 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 57 seconds. To go sub 2, you would need to take 7 seconds off per mile off that world record pace. Doesn't sound like much, right? It's just 7 seconds. But if you're an elite runner, that's more than 45 yards per minute. 26.2 miles in sub 2 hours. That's 4 minutes and 34 seconds per mile. I don't know if I can run a half mile in 4:34, let alone 26.2 in a row. But in order to test this, Nike created the perfect conditions in a private race to see if the human body could accomplish that feat. After 6 months of training, the 3 runners lined up at the Italian Formula One racetrack, Autodromo Nazionale Monza, on May 6, 2017. Led by a pace car and flanked by a rotation of interchangeable pacemakers. You heard that right. They subbed pacemakers in and out in front of these 3 elite runners. The 3 men gave everything they had, but they came up just short. Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya, and Eliud, if I mispronounce your name, my apologies, came the closest but missed his mark by 26 seconds, running a marathon in 2 hours and 25 seconds. Now, if you remember, the world record at that time was 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 57 seconds, but this wasn't recorded as a world record because they had set up the conditions and it was a private race. And even though the runners failed to break the 2-hour mark that day, they all exhibited one common trait. Anyone? Endurance. Exceptional endurance. And Nike shoes. Yeah, that's a good plug. Makes you run faster. It's got to be the shoes. But what is endurance? Endurance means the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Endurance is also used to describe a race, as we just discussed, or takes place over a long distance or otherwise demands great physical stamina. But endurance isn't only limited to your physical strength. It can also pertain to your spiritual muscles, your heart, your mind, and your spirit. Over the past couple months, we have been in Paul's second letter to his faithful protege, Timothy, who Paul loved like a son. We know that Paul cared deeply for Timothy and viewed him as a torchbearer to carry on the mission to spread the gospel. So Paul wanted to equip Timothy for the journey and the race that lay before him. Turn with me this morning to your scriptures, and we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Let's pause right there. You know what? I've read this scripture before, but that's really never caught my attention like it did preparing for this message. What a powerful statement of truth. God's word is a living word. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. It knows no boundaries. Men, when in doubt, the living word, go to the living word because it cannot and will not be chained or restricted. Let's continue to verse 10. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we die for him, we will also live for him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. There's a lot to unpack in those five verses, but this morning, I want us to camp out in the first half of verse 12. If we endure, we will also reign with him. When I think of endurance, I think about preparing for a journey. But what is Paul preparing Timothy for? We know he's writing these letters to encourage Timothy, to train him, to prepare him. So let's turn to a familiar verse found in Hebrews 12, verse 1. In that verse, it says, "Let us run with perseverance the race that has been marked out for us." Did you catch that? The race that has been marked out for us. What does that mean? Jesus has created us for a purpose, and he has marked out a unique race for each of us to run. As leaders who follow Jesus, I think it's important to go all in and that we run for Jesus. He has empowered us with his Holy Spirit. He is not asking us to do it on our own strength, so we may go above and beyond our natural ability for our good and his glory. Jesus' natural rhythm throughout his ministry on earth was what? Was it to run? No. It was to walk. It was to be relational. So please hear me. I am not telling you to run around aimlessly for the sake of just running. But I am encouraging each of us to run with purpose. Throughout Ecclesiastes, Solomon described our life like just a mist. And Moses teaches us to number our days so we may truly live and achieve wisdom. Paul knows that we do not know what tomorrow brings. Remember, he is writing this from prison, and the next day he could be killed. So he's encouraging Timothy, and he's encouraging us to run our races with endurance. Why? Because you're not just running for yourself, men. You are running for everyone in your life that needs Jesus. And let me tell you something. Each of you has a story, and that story is more powerful than any sermon. I promise you that. That story can transform someone's perspective on Jesus because no one can refute how Jesus has impacted you and changed your life. So let's go back to the verse in verse 12. If we endure, we also reign with him. What does that mean? We see throughout Scripture that Jesus is seated where? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 1, 1 Peter 3, and Acts 7, just to name a few. So when Paul tells Timothy that if we endure, we will also reign, guys, that's good news. That means we are co-heirs with Jesus to the Father's kingdom. How about that? That's a promise that I want to grab hold to and I want to run to. The people that are in your life who have not made Jesus their Lord and Savior, they're not going to get this inheritance. The greatest inheritance we could possibly have, they're going to miss out on. So that is why we need to run with endurance. As leaders, it's imperative to run with endurance so we can share the good news with as many people as possible. But there are enemies that want to hold you and me back. So let's examine some of the more common enemies of endurance so we can know how to combat them. Preview, there are going to be 7 of them then. The first enemy of endurance is starting. Seems simple, right? But getting off the starting blocks can be the hardest thing to accomplish. Why? It's a simple matter of physics. We have no motion behind us. And it takes more energy to get off the blocks than it does to cross the finish line. And many of us don't know where to start. We don't know where that starting line is. But it's pretty simple. You just need to show up. When you show up, then you can start. And you will be led down to the race that has been set before you. Number 2 is, a lot of us are running with some excess baggage and weight. The enemy desires to draw our focus to previous bad decisions so he can chain us to our past. I don't know about you, but my table knows for many years I struggled with this. But guys, we are forgiven. We are free. So don't act like captives that are trapped in your own past. I love the way that Pastor Jensen Franklin encourages us. If you want to be depressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, just look around. But if you want to be delivered, look up. Number three, dehydration. Anybody who's a runner knows that when you're on a run, you're going to build up a thirst. And many of us don't plant our roots in the living God, in the living water, which is God's word. When you feel overtaken by anxiety, men, that is your check engine light. Your dashboard, you should see that check engine light go on and know that you're not planting in the water if anxiety is ruling your emotional state. Psalm 1:3 says, "You are like a tree planted by cool, flowing streams of water that never run dry." Men, I promise you that if you plant yourself and start your day in God's word, you will never go thirsty, and His truth will overcome any anxiety that you feel or face. Number four, it's easy to be on that course and look at that hill in front of you and say, man, it's just too hard. It's too challenging. If we're honest with ourselves, life can be exhausting, can't it? It can be hard. When we look at the course and declare that it's too hard, we fall into the camp of trying to do it on our own strength. Never forget this. Adversity builds capacity, and difficulty is used for development. I repeat that. Adversity builds capacity. When we face something hard, we can take on more, and difficulty is used for development. Romans 5, verses 4 through 5 gives us this encouragement, which was also written by Paul. We know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Men, suffering is never senseless. Somebody in this room needs to know that promise. Suffering is not senseless. The need, number five, the need to run alone. Think about running, kind of think about running by ourselves, don't we? But we are made for relationship, and we are made for fellowship. God wants each of you to find a group of men to do life together. And that's exactly what we are doing here at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. As I look at this room, there are so many men that come together that are transparent with one another, that share with one another, and that encourage one another. Because we all know one thing, a storm's coming. And when that storm comes, I don't want to be by myself because I'm going to be blown off course pretty quickly. But when I have friends like Todd and Kelly and Chris who know my heart and send me encouragement and my house is burning down, those friends, those men, those brothers, they jump into that house with me and they help pull me out and they remind me that Jesus is good and that God is good and that I am not alone. So I believe, I just found this verse yesterday, it's pretty amazing. It's a verse in Hebrews, and I know I keep citing Hebrews, but this is just where the Lord led me for this message. And this is Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. And I think it really encapsulates what Friday morning is all about and what it means to be a Friday morning guy. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And we showed resiliency during the pandemic, didn't we? We didn't stop meeting together. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Number six, I can't reach the finish line in my lifetime. So for all of our guys here that are a little more wise, a little more advanced in their journey, I think this could be a common pitfall. man, I'm just a little too old to start because I'm not going to be able to finish that in my lifetime. But you know what, men? Some dreams aren't meant to be accomplished in your lifetime. They are saved for the next generation. Let's just look at Hebrews 11. It's called the Hall of Faith. Moses did everything God asked him to do, but he didn't reach the promised land. David, a man after God's own heart, didn't see the temple constructed. It was handed off to Joshua. It was handed off to Solomon, the next generation, to get to that finish line. In his book, Chase the Lion, Mark Batterson says, if you're thinking in terms of eternity, you should have some dreams that won't be accomplished in your lifetime. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? And finally, number 7, holding back. When we hold back, we're not pushing ourselves. And when we don't push ourselves, we can create atrophy. What's atrophy? It's a gradual decline. It's a disintegration of your muscles. And I don't know about you, but I often find myself seeking a life of comfort. Why stretch too thin? I might exhaust my resources, my energy, or my abilities. But this too is a lie. Faith requires us to be uncomfortable. Paul was encouraging Timothy to be uncomfortable because he knew through his own life experiences that discomfort brings about growth. Men, if you hear anything this morning, hear what I'm getting ready to say. God doesn't call us to endure as a punishment or to endure for endurance's sake. God calls us to endure because through endurance we experience. And through experience, we transform. Through transformation, we renew our minds. It breaks down scar tissue, talking about being held back in our past. It deepens our faith, and that changes our focus from here to here. We become more like Jesus. And that is why God calls us to endure. On January 1st, 2020, my relationship with God changed forever. My wife, Natalie, and I were serving at the Passion 2020 conference. It was actually hosted just down the street at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. My dad was serving with us as well. During one of the worship songs, one of the singers, a guy named Sean Curran, made a simple but profound statement. You know what? When Sean said it, I bet he wouldn't know that it would transform somebody's life. But it was profound, and it altered the way that I worship and that I run with God. He said, you are not designed to hold back. Think about that. God did not design you or me to hold back. And when Sean said those words, I realized that I was holding back from God in my worship. To be honest with you, when I went to church and I watched those other people raising their hands, I was uncomfortable. That wasn't me. And quite honestly, I didn't understand why they were trying to express or why they felt the need to express themselves like that. It made me uncomfortable. But who am I to hold back from adoring and worshiping my King, who saved me from my past transgressions, which are far too countless to count? So, Billy Graham said it this way. Go back to your beginning with God. God will never be able to use you unless you are totally surrendered to Him. A surrendered man never forgets where he came from as a sinner who's been separated or is separated from Christ. Men, today I freely raise my hand when I worship because I know that without Jesus, I would be nothing. The good news is that we are not called to be trailblazers. We are not called to go out and set a course that hasn't been run before. Hebrews tells us that Jesus has been tested in every way that we are tested, but he emerged victorious without failing God. What does that mean? That means we serve a high priest who has walked in our shoes. That alone is enough. But let me share some more good news. We are also surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. They have been persecuted. They have been martyred. They have not seen the promised land, yet they encourage us to keep going, to keep fighting, to keep running. Why? Because they are on the other side, and they know that it is absolutely worth it. They are saying, I know it's hard. I know you feel alone. I know your efforts just feel futile. But we are standing at the finish line of eternity with countless people who have found Jesus because their friend, their neighbor, their parents didn't give up on them. They didn't hold back. Do not quit. Do not stop. Eternity is relying on you to keep running, to run with endurance. Scripture tells us that Jesus stood up for Thomas when he was martyred. He literally stood up from his throne and acknowledged Thomas. So our challenge this week, men, is to take inventory of our lives. And I want to ask this a simple question. Will my King stand for me at the end of my race? In every season of suffering, there comes a turning point. And surprisingly, usually, the turning point is not when the suffering comes to an end, but when the sufferer realizes there might be purpose to the pain. Eliud Kipchoge, remember our friend? He came up just short. But Eliud's dream to break the two-hour marathon, which once seemed crazy, he accomplished. On October 12, 2019, Eliud ran a 1 hour, 59-minute, and 40-second marathon. He proved that if you are relentless in pursuing a goal, anything is possible. After breaking the sub-2-hour mark, Eliud said, I want to tell the world that no human is limited. You know what? Eliud's right. Because through Christ Jesus, we can do all things. We are each called into a divine mission, called a bespoke race that has been uniquely made for each of us to run. Jesus has invited each of us into a life journey with him that culminates in spending eternity with him. Men, as leaders, we run for an audience of one and no one else. Christ is your prize. So let's stop striving for the trivial. Let's stop striving for status and material goods, because guess what? It all fades away. He alone is a prize that is worth running for. So let us run the race that is set before us. Let us be leaders that lead with endurance. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, it is just so good to be with these men this morning, and I know that you had this message for a purpose, because life is hard. It is sometimes we feel like we're quicksand if we're honest. And sometimes it feels like you're not listening to us, but that is so far from the truth. We know that you see us in every movement, in every moment, and that there are people who have gone before us that are standing at the finish line that are calling and encouraging us just to keep on. So I just ask that your word just fills each of us, that we just may be filled with the Holy Spirit who can empower us, that resurrection power to allow us to break limits, to do things that we don't think possible. Let us have God-sized dreams that we can't accomplish on our own, but that you can do because you are the God of the impossible. Father, we love you, and we just thank you for sending your Son so that we may have eternal life and salvation, because through Jesus, he has given us that bridge between you and our sin. And we love you for that, and we thank you for that. I ask that each of these men go out here today proclaiming your name and leading well, leading with endurance. Give us the strength and perspective to know that we are never alone. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Men, enjoy your time at your tables.